You don't fight with honor.
No. He did.
Hey, I'm Doug Stanhope, and if you're listening to this podcast, don't take my word for it. I got tricked into this in a merch booth.
It's the homemade broadcast.
The what podcast?
The homemade broadcast.
Homemade?
Homemade broadcast.
The homemade podcast.
Yes, sir.
This is very homemade right here. This shit right here got homemade.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the homemade broadcast 93. Good morning, good afternoon, or good night. Whenever you're listening, welcome. Welcome to the program. My name is Will Kuntz. This is Radio St. Pete, RadioSt.Pete.com. Maybe Sunday 6:15 where you're listening, or you may be listening on iTunes. Don't forget to subscribe to the HMB on iTunes. Just search for the homemade broadcast there. Also, I kind of forgot that I had this, but I have a Google Voice line where you can leave a voicemail for the show. If you're ever interested in doing that, you can leave criticisms. You can leave, hey, go do something to yourselves, you know, in a not-so-nice way, whatever you want to do. Or you can say, hey, Will, nice job, man. Cool podcast, bro. And then, you know, that's a good way to get some feedback. So if you call 813-693-2124, you can do that. And if they're funny or in some way, I might even play those on air. So be sure to do that. It's a lot of fun. You can also email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com. For guest ideas, I don't know, whatever you want, questions, concerns, the whole lot. So this is Homemade Broadcast 93, and today's guest is nobody. Nobody is coming to the show today because I'm stupid. That's basically what happened here. I blame, it's user error. I got to put the complete blame on myself. I can't blame technology because we control technology and I'm ignorant for not knowing how to use it. So what happened was I had a comedian Pat Welsh in here yesterday, and I always kind of try to record these intros beforehand because so they don't have to look at me and look at me with those dead eyes while I'm just, you know, talking my nonsense, doing the ads, whatever else. So I tried to get those done, and so I did. I had a nice little intro there, and Pat called and let me know he was here. So I answered the phone and talked to him and then hung up, and apparently it was still recording. So there's like 10 minutes of dead air of us just kind of talking. You can barely hear, exchanging pleasantries and whatever. So it's my fault. So that episode's pretty much unusable. Pat's going to come back some other time, and maybe even tomorrow, which is Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. But it doesn't matter, because these are on demand, so it doesn't matter when he's coming back. And so what happened was when I pushed record to start, I actually pushed stop, and we were talking for I don't know how long, and I looked down and said, oh, no, it's not recording. Something's wrong. So we pushed record, we started talking. Everything went fine. It's just, I tried listening to it. It's just not, it's not worth getting into. It's just not airable. So what are we going to do today then? I am not interesting enough to speak to you people for a certain amount of time, 45 minutes, because my life just is, it's not that exciting. It's really boring. When we used to do the shows, Adam and I, we would kind of just have conversations, and now it's just me. And I did shows where it was just me before, and I will never listen to them because that's horrific. So what I'm going to do today is a worst of. I wanted to do this for the 100th episode, and I still might. But what I'm going to do is play clips from old shows and old interviews that I've done, some recent, some older. So it's going to have a nice assortment of things to talk about. And it's going to be fun, I think. It's going to be nice. I'll get to go back and re-listen to some of these things from the past year and reflect and think about how I've gotten better at some things and worse at others, and just a refresh of some of these people in the Tampa Bay area that we've come to know and love. And so, yeah, that's what we're going to do. But first, the Homemade Broadcast is brought to you by Sly Bar. Find out why I love the burg is named Sly Bar, one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. Great beer, great folks all around. Lauren and Joe, good people down there. They've been very supportive of things that I'm doing here, along with the podcast and the comedy nights down there. That's where we do our open mics, which the next one is Tuesday, June 23rd. Make sure you get down there. $50 cash, courtesy of Sly Bar. They're located at 2061 Central Avenue, right here in St. Pete. And Angela's Bar and Grill provides our pizza for those nights. Free pizza on comedy nights. You can come out, you bring a few buddies with you. A few pals. If you ever thought about doing comedy, it's by audience applause. So if you bring a couple friends, you got a good chance of walking away with that cash. So I encourage you to do that. Get fed, eat some of Angela's delicious pizza. I finally got to try a piece the other day at Sly Bar. They bought some pizza for the Lightning game, and I never had it before, and I finally got a piece, because it's always gone by the end of the comedy nights. And it was really good. It was delicious. So make sure you get down there. We start about 8:30, 9 o'clock probably generally, but I start at 8:30. So get there a little earlier, get your name on the sign-up sheet, bring some pals. Let's hang out. Sly Bar, 2061 Central Avenue, this Tuesday, June 23rd. And Angelo's is located at 536 First Avenue North, right here in St. Pete. Go in there. Tell them Will sent you. They'll be like, who the hell is Will? And then you just be like, never mind. Sorry, weird. And then they'll just look at you strange. And then you just go about your business. You walk away. You get your pizza or your sub. You sit down. You don't make eye contact again. And that's it. That's how you do things. Speaking of the Lightning, bummer about the Lightning. I just kept thinking, though, as I watched, and congratulations to the Chicago Blackhawks, by the way. That's terrific. Good for you, champions of the National Hockey League this year. Hoisted the Stanley Cup above their heads I watched the post game. It seemed like for an hour. It probably was for an hour. I guess that's what you do. That's what you work all year for. So I just kept thinking as bummed out. I'm a very casual hockey fan, okay? I went to a few games this year, watched a couple on TV, but I don't have cable, so it's hard to keep up. It was just exhausting, because when they got into the playoffs, I was like, all right, well, I'm definitely going to watch, because, you know, they're the home team and everything. What is this going to take, 2 or 3 weeks? Dude, 2 months later, holy moly. Like, every game went the whole way. There's 7-game series, each one of them. I think every one of them went to game 7. I think maybe Montreal went to 6. I don't know. New York went to 7. I think Detroit went to 7, too. Or maybe Detroit went to 6. I don't know. But it was, God. I mean, 2 months later, I was just like, well, thank you. That's over. I can go back to living my life again. It was just a little much to all take in. But, hey, nice job, guys. And September is right around the corner. There's, like, no downtime, really, in hockey. They play, like, it seems like all year round. I mean, it's already a few months away, 3 months, and they'll be back in camp. So, and they got a really young team. It's going to be really exciting to be a Lightning fan. The only team that's worth a dang in the Tampa Bay area, not really true, though, because the Rays are in first place right now. I don't know who would have thought that coming into gloom and doom of what this season was going to be for the Rays, and they've been kicking butt, man. They've been taking it to some teams for one game ahead. I don't think anybody expected that. I didn't expect that. I know that they are down like a bunch of guys, a bunch of pitchers are down, so they're doing it with like backups, I guess, pretty much, and they're managing to take it to some teams. It's still very early, of course, in the baseball season, but you got to be really happy with what Kevin Cash and the Tampa Bay Rays have been doing so far. And that'd be sweet if they came in and won the World Series. That would really, I don't want to stick it to Joe Maddon. I don't have any qualms with Joe Maddon. Totally understand his position and his predicament where he was in. People got really mad at him, and it's business. I mean, it is just a business. I know you get attached to players and coaches, but it's still business at the end of the day. They don't owe you nothing, and it was sad seeing Joe go. He just was such a figurehead and really brought this organization to national prominence. Got to the World Series in 2008, wasn't able to finish it off, but hey, gotta like what Kevin Cash is doing. Gotta be excited for future Rays baseball. And this year, you gotta be psyched about what the possibilities are. Still early, but you gotta be happy with it. So, what else? What else do we got? I don't know. Did I read the ads? I did. I read the ads. Talked about the issue with the phone. So, yeah, we're doing best of or worst of, whatever you want to call it. Maybe a bit of both. So, let's see. Let's dig into the archives and see what we can find here in said archives. I should have pulled this up before because that would have been the thing to do. Of course, I don't follow the rules, okay? I go by my own way. I do things terribly. So let's see, what do we got here? We got James Bailey, he was on a couple weeks ago, J.B. Ball, we got Emily Miller, we got Kyle Roos. Let's go back to a live show we did back in about 4 months ago, HMB 78. It was Jander Gray and Nathan Hart. It was a very awkward podcast. I remember there was people in there that had just come from a softball tournament or something, and there was dogs barking. Nobody cared that we were in there, and we can't really blame it. It was a last-minute type of thing. So let's go back to HMB 78 with Jander Gray and Nathan Hart, and I will be right back.
Be nice. Don't be a dick to anybody, and that's
Stay
it.
Stay positive.
Yes.
At all times, if possible.
Yeah.
You can be mean while you're driving.
Even then, you shouldn't.
But
avoid it.
If you're going to let it out, that's the time to let it out, in your car when no one can hear you.
The only time that either of my parents would ever swear was while they were driving.
Yeah.
And if I was in the car with them, my dad would just address everyone as buddy. Like, at the angriest, you could say the word buddy, though, and that
did
would be
he
how
he
placed everything
buddy?
Else.
No,
like, no, just buddy. Like, he'd managed to censor himself that well around his kids.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was a talent, probably.
That is a skill that you have to develop, because I'm a parent, and I'm doing a terrible job.
Jander, you got to get that thing right up to your mouth.
Yeah, I'm going to have to live with it.
Put
right
it in your ass first, and then let it keep around.
The scent right at my nose.
Yes.
Then
yes.
I know where I'm
can
at.
Can you smell the open mic acts that have come before you? It was a rough one. So, Jander, you've been doing comedy for how long?
I've been doing comedy for about 6 months.
Really? That's it?
Really.
I figured you were an old wily vet.
No, not at all, man.
When you say 6 months, do you mean like 6 months ago you started writing or 6 months ago you started doing shows?
About 6 months ago, I went to my first open mic.
Okay. Yeah, that was the same metric I'm using, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but I don't know if that's
really
right.
I would love to say that I really only started 2 months ago, because it was 2 months ago that I actually was like, oh, this is the kind of material I want to write. Not that.
Yeah.
What did kind of get you going and, like, making you want to start doing this?
Well, a lot of things. I'm a former musician also, or at least aspiring. I was terrible at all times. But what really kind of flipped me was I listened to a lot of podcasts, and honestly, Rogan kind of talked me into it on his podcast, just with his typical inspirational stuff. So I was like, you know, I'm going to check this out. And I found the Tampa Improv, their open mic, and I immediately went online and was like, what's this look like, right? And I started looking at YouTube videos, watching what the Tampa Improv open mic looked like, and kind of got an idea. And then I think I sat on it for about another 6 months before I went out and actually did one.
But yeah, I think it probably took me about 6 months of just sitting around writing, just trying stuff over and over. And from a podcast, too. That there was the store, and then I listened to Mark Maron's podcast, and that got me sort of pushed in the direction of doing comedy.
Right. So, I mean, you all haven't been, like, thinking about it for a long time. This wasn't a thing where, like, I've always wanted to try. You just jumped right in.
Yeah, it was never, like, a childhood dream that I wanted to grow up to be George Carlin or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or Jon Stewart, now that he's out.
Yeah.
Total reverse for me. I had always thought about it, but never done it. I mean, I grew up watching Carlin and the old school days of Comedy Central when they first started.
Yeah.
I mean, where they would play nothing but stand-up clips 24/7, so you could just sit there and watch stand-up all day long.
Right.
That's all I did when I was a kid. So I always had I was always a huge stand-up fan.
I almost feel like a fake sometimes because I don't know anything about stand-up other than what I've learned in the last year of me doing it.
Right.
Because I didn't really have that much interest in it until I really got going and started doing it myself, which it's weird.
Well, see, you're an interesting case because you're more of a – do you think consider yourself more of an improv guy than a stand-up comedian? Because it's rare that you see, like, oh, I'm a stand-up, I also do improv.
People do them both.
Usually it's one or the other just can't fit into, you know.
Yeah, I feel like they're two totally different things. Like, the end result is kind of the same, that, yeah, you make people laugh at stuff. But they're so different in terms of, like, the skill sets that they take. And, I mean, one and the other definitely helps me with both. But I don't know if I'd really consider myself more of one or the other. I think if I was going to pick one and I could only do one, it would be stand-up.
Okay.
But
you don't need to, though.
Exactly. I don't need to.
You don't need to pick. And I do some improv, and I feel that improv definitely assists with stand-up.
Right.
They're very related skills.
Right.
I think anybody that's doing either of those things that wants to be better at either one should probably be doing it. It's very related.
You need those
skills in both.
Yeah, yeah. I did a little bit of improv back in high school, like a semester while I was in theater. And then I started doing it with this team, the Unprofessionals. And we operate out of Bula Cafe, mostly. We've got a few shows at Low Tide that I don't really have scheduled yet. But we're once a month at Bula now, too. And
what is going on at Bula? Can you clarify? Because it's been a mystery. I knew they were doing open mics forever, and now I can't figure out what the hell is going on.
Right.
Every time I see a post from them, it's just a mishmash of things.
Yeah, yeah. Well, he's still got open sign-up for what they're called showcases now, that he's doing two showcases a month, and then one of our improv shows and the Bula Bowl.
It's too much. Yeah. It's too much, Nathan.
There's too much going on.
No, it's not that it's a show every week. It's just like it needs to be organized a little better, I guess, or advertised a little better. Because, like I said, I'm like, should I go tonight? Is it an open mic? Can I go do stuff there tonight? Or what's going on?
Well, I think he's got a hard calendar set up on the Facebook now that the Mike Fried's Kava Comedy.
Okay.
That'd be where to go to look for info on that one if you're curious.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think in a way I agree with you that it'd be nice to have things a little more laid out. But
it's easier to retain in somebody's memory if something is just a static
the same
thing
every week,
like Wednesday.
Right,
this
right, right.
You know, rather than having to go look at sites, but I think it's an ambitious idea.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, he's doing like a competition one week and then improv the next.
Right, right.
It is an ambitious idea, but yeah, like you're saying, it definitely can be confusing. I thought tonight there was an open mic there until I asked you before we started the show.
I think that he's just sort of restarted things in the last month or so, that he's sort of refocusing the whole thing. And I'm a big fan of what Mike Fried's doing over there. That Bula is my favorite out of the open mics in St. Pete.
What?
With
come you know, on, with, Nate, with, I'm right here.
This one takes a close second for me.
Okay, fair enough.
If I wasn't on a balcony,
way to dig yourself out there, Nate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah right. Yeah. I'm digging a hole deep.
Right.
You don't.
Yeah.
No, it's okay. I'm teasing you, obviously. I understand.
Yeah.
So you've been with the Unprofessionals now for a year?
Probably about 6 or 7 months with them.
Okay. Did you have to, what was the process like of joining that group up? Was it?
Well, things have changed there, too, because it was probably, okay, we're probably picking that dog up hard.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We should get that dog his own mic.
I'm sorry, Clark. I apologize. No, you're all right. Yeah. It's fine.
It's all good. He's got better material than us anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We should get this dog a mic and have him come on up.
I don't think he needs to be
Clark
Mike.
The pit bull. Right. So this improv team. Yeah, we've been out at about 6 or 7 months, and during that time, it's sort of changed itself as well, that we've changed most of our lineup by now from where we started. So the way that you get into it now is different from than it was then, that we just have people come in and run some practice games with us, and then we put them in the show.
I'm interested in improv. I just don't feel like I'd be good at
it
because it is a different skill set.
No one is when you start. No one starts off good at improv, and if they are, they're lying.
It's really just all about pulling the trigger and not caring what happens after you pull the trigger. So you fail completely, or you just find remarkable success sometimes when you completely let go.
Mm. Yeah.
And really is on night or off night. I have nights where I do improv where I feel like I'm just crushing every time I open my mouth, and then I have nights where I open my mouth and I just wish I would have died. You know,
that happens with stand-up, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
I mean, it's the same thing. It's a risk putting yourself out there in general.
Oh, yeah,
but
man, after I bombed Tuesday, I'll tell you, I wanted to go right over this thing.
This is the thing, though, Nathan. About Tuesday, you didn't bomb.
Yeah,
nobody
you absolutely
in the broad
did not
context
bomb.
Of things.
Nobody did well. It was... Yeah. I figured, okay, because Cam Bertrand came out, and Cam's pretty hot right now. I was like, all right, if Cam can't do this, then nobody can.
Yeah, then it's not us.
And Cam was like, I'm out of here.
That's a great barometer.
Wow.
If Cam's not killing, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just a very – I blame myself because, I waited to invite people. And,
right.
It's my fault. But hopefully next week's or the 24th will be better.
Yeah.
I hope.
Yeah.
I hope.
Well, yeah, I definitely don't mean to knock the show at all. But, it because it's been amazing the last couple times I've been out here.
It's been great. I mean,
it's
not
a bar crowd and it's St. Pete.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
It's been fantastic every time.
Yeah, everybody's been ready to have fun when I've come out here.
Right.
I've only been out twice, and really even the other day I felt it was a good open mic.
Yeah.
But you know, if you start talking about open mics, I'm used to going to a lot of open mics where there's 18 comics and 2 people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So, yeah, yeah.
If there's more than 7 people, it's not an open mic to me. It's a show.
Yeah.
And that's a big perk, I think, to this place and Bula and others like that aren't in comedy clubs, is that you get an audience that isn't just comedians.
Yeah.
They don't tend to laugh as much.
Right? Yeah. And that's what I've been good at, is getting people to come out and, like, marketing the thing.
Real audience.
Real audience, yeah. Because I know how it is. And, you know, comedians will politely laugh generally.
Right.
Yeah. It's a good one.
I get it.
But I don't, I can't fake laugh. It's just not in my not in my heart.
Yeah.
So I find I have a really hard time when I have to be, I want to just to, be nice, you know. Or even, things are funny. But they're just not, laugh out loud funny.
Right, right.
But I enjoy it, you know, and I feel like there was a lot of that maybe on Tuesday.
Yeah.
But just not that...
not that vocal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you guys the same way? Is it kind of hard to make you laugh?
You know, before I started doing comedy, I think it was actually harder to get me to laugh at things. And now it's almost gotten easier as I've gotten more experienced and as I've got more time that I see why things are funny. That I might not have got otherwise.
I wonder,
feel
like...
I can see that point.
You think the same thing for you?
I understand you. I understand your point, and that's definitely...
Yeah, yeah.
I think I feel the same, but I've still laughed before.
Still laugh
I still
less.
Laugh now. You know, if somebody really gets me with something that I haven't seen them do, I'll...
Right.
You know...
Right.
It's like you're saying, I don't want to fake laugh at anybody. I don't want to give another comic feedback that's not real.
Mm. Yeah.
So, you know, even if it's a joke I know, I feel like if they did it well, I'll clap when I know they've really hit that note.
Right. I like to get the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my favorite.
I will.
Jander Gray and Nathan Hart and myself at Sly Bar a couple months ago doing a live impromptu podcast with Clark, the pit bull, bulldog, whatever he was, that was barking up a storm. Miss you, Clark. I hope you're well in doggy heaven. No, I'm sure you're fine and you're getting belly rubs right now by your owner. Very good. So a couple of months ago on HMB 74, we had Matt Fernandez roll through. Matt is one of my favorite comedians just in general. He's just a really funny dude. He did the Creative Loafing show in April with us. He's always featured in all these publications for having one of the best. He's one of the best tweeters around. He's been on Jimmy Kimmel Live. His tweets have made Jimmy Kimmel Live anyways. So Matt stopped by and we talked, I don't remember about what. So let's revisit HMB 74 with comedian Matt Fernandez.
I mean, you have to expect that. You know, there's certain things you shouldn't, you know, pay less money for, like an old-fashioned or like toilet paper or something.
I'm a firm believer in you get what you pay for.
Absolutely, especially in those departments. So if you're just joining us, I'm here with Matt Fernandez. He is a comedian with Cigar City Comedy and just a person in general. He's joining me. By the way, before I forget, I got stickers made, Homemade Broadcast Radio St. Pete stickers, and they can be yours for the low, low price of nothing. So if you want some, email the Homemade Broadcast. Don't forget the at gmail.com. And with my own money, I'm going to buy a stamp, and I'm going to put a stamp on them and send them to you. So they're free. So what do you want from me?
Wow, you're paying for postage?
Yeah.
You're a good man.
I know. And as you can tell, I don't live in the lap of luxury as you're in the studio.
What are you talking about? This place is awesome.
Thanks, man.
It's like a dorm room farted. Great.
That's a good way to describe it, yeah. That's what I want to say from now on. I got the acoustic guitar, of course, in the corner, so really sets the mood off right.
Can I have one of those stickers when I leave?
I actually don't have them on me.
Why are you? Why?
They're
Liar.
Being printed.
Lies.
They are on their FedEx ground shipped, and I was hoping to have them for the open mic. I don't think that's going to happen either, unless a miracle happens.
Are you going to have them by the 29th show?
Yes,
for sure. Show plug.
For sure, yes. At Sly Bar, we got some other great comics on that one. That's John J. Murray, David Weingarten, Chris Mattson, Krishna Reedy. Is that how you say his name? You know Krishna?
Is he on that show?
He is.
He is? Okay,
I think he might have took your spot, actually.
No, John J. took my spot. Okay, cool. Krishna's on that show and the 24th show. Lots of chances to see Krishna Reedy.
Yeah, what's the one at Enigma?
Enigma on the 24th.
24th,
at 9 o'clock. Yeah, it's a free show.
The gay bar is going to be awesome.
Is it a gay bar?
It is.
Oh.
It is a very gay bar.
Oh, no.
You didn't know this?
I didn't know that.
Oh, this is going to be fantastic.
I just got an email and was like, show, pay, yeah, money. I like telling jokes.
Yeah,
that's going to be apparently a lot. It's going to be me, Krishna Reddy, David Weingarten, Joe Riga, and Law Smith.
Okay.
All cool people.
Yeah. I know Law very well. He's a good man. Mm-hmm. I feel like I always talk about Law on the pod. I think I kind of have a little bit of a man crush on Law a little bit. He's so well spoken and he's just handsome as hell. And
he's a dreamboat.
I kept falling into his eyes whenever we did the podcast. And he commanded the situation too. He would just be like, he took control of the podcast, which is great because the less I have to talk, it's the better.
Like, he's good at comedy. He's okay or whatever. But as far as, like, being a manager and, like, here's how this is going to
go. Absolutely.
If we're planning a bank robbery, Law is planning that bank robbery. And he's going to give you an assignment and tell
he
you
exactly
what to do.
He is George Clooney.
He is.
No doubt about it.
It would be Law's 11. It would be his movie.
No doubt. So, Matt, where are you from originally? You're from Tampa Bay?
I am from Tampa Bay, yep.
Were you born in Tampa?
I was born in Denver, but I moved here, like, 2 months after that. I'm a huge Bucks fan, but I'm also a little bit of a Broncos fan, too.
See, that's okay. You know, you have a right. We were talking about this earlier. We're recording this on a little bit before, so the Cowboys played today.
Uh-huh.
And I grew up a Cowboys fan, like, before I knew.
I think everyone did.
Yeah, it was hard not
when I discovered football, it was, you know, Troy Aikman and Emmitt Smith, like you were saying.
I begged my mother. I remember my parents divorced when I was really little. And I remember being, like, 6 or 7. and I begged her to marry Troy Aikman. I really wanted him as
Come
my dad.
Come on, Mom, get it together.
Yeah,
I begged. Troy Aikman.
Yeah, we're stuck with this guy. What are you talking about? I love my stepdad, though.
I was like, is he going to listen to this? He's going to be devastated.
He might listen to it, yeah.
You're no Troy Aikman.
But I think he would, my stepdad, Mark, would be like, he's right, I'm no Troy Aikman. He's very subdued.
It's hard to argue that. There's only one Troy Aikman.
That's true. So he knows, but... Yeah, so I always kind of grew up a Cowboys fan. I was a little upset. Packers took them down today. I had to work all day.
It was a good game, though.
Yeah, I wish I could have got to watch it. It came down to like,
yeah. We were supposed to go. Me and my girlfriend were going to go to the movies today and see Inherent Vice, but she got sick. So we actually just hung out and watched that game, and then we watched Clear and Present Danger. Are you familiar? Clint Eastwood and John Malkovich?
I don't think I ever saw that, no.
It's amazing.
Is it worth
seeing? Wait, is that it? Or maybe it was in the Line of Fire. It was one of those 1990 movies where the president is in jeopardy and Clint Eastwood a total bad A-word. Can I say the A-word?
I think so.
Badass?
Yeah,
he's a badass.
Because ass is
and
like...
John Malkovich is the bad guy. He has a plastic gun. It's really good.
Man, I got to check this out.
I think it's in The Line of Fire or Clear and Present Danger. It's one of those two.
There were a lot of those. And I think there's actually a couple more coming out. I saw a preview on Reddit the other day where Samuel L. Jackson is president. And it's a kid that finds him. There's a hijacking of some sort. The preview moved very fast. And they put him in this pod, and they sent him down, and he landed in, like, the Norwegian, I don't know what you call it,
Samuel
desert.
Samuel Jackson Goes to Europe? Is that what his movie's about?
Basically.
Sold. I can't wait to see it.
It looks action-packed. I'm sure it's going to be great. You know, Samuel Jackson, for as good of an actor he is, truly, because, like, he's been in some great films.
He has had some good, but, I mean, He plays himself a lot.
Yeah.
But he also is a really good actor.
A lot of bad movies,
yeah.
too.
A lot of bad ones.
I think, was he in the shark one, the Deep Blue Sea, where he got bit in half?
Yeah, he got eaten.
Yeah. That was the one where I was like, okay.
Abruptly. Like, he was in the middle of a speech when he gets eaten with Thomas Jane, the
that's
original
right.
Punisher.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember. And that's where I was kind of like, okay, I can't do this anymore. I'm tapping out on Samuel. And they did, of course, Snakes on a Plane, which made a lot of money. And it made him a fortune.
I don't know why, but yeah, it did. It did well.
You sell out kind of your respectability, you know, your credence there little bit.
But he was also in Pulp Fiction, so it's hard to be mad at him.
Exactly, and did a fantastic job in that movie.
Oh yeah,
one of my favorite movies of all time.
I could have watched him and Travolta just do a movie by themselves.
Yeah, I wish they would have did a spinoff or something. Yeah. I don't know. It probably would have been terrible.
Travolta totally dies in the movie, spoiler alert. But, they could have worked that in. They could have done a prequel.
Oh, they could have done, like, his ghost comes back, a buddy movie, and his ghost.
Travolta's ghost?
And he's haunting Jules, right? and Jules has to go to this psychic who's in, let's just say Alaska. So he's got to take, and they do this road trip all the way and just... wacky things happen along the way.
We're writing this as soon as this stupid podcast is over.
We're writing it now. Oh, Matt Fernandez rewriting Pulp Fiction 2. I don't know what we're going to call it yet. We haven't finished, but I'm sure we'll get there one day, and it's going to make millions, I'm sure. Good to have Matt in here, I'm sure. Got to try to get that guy back in soon. He's a really fun guy to talk to. So... to close us out on this first worst of the homemade broadcast in its existence, we're going to travel back all the way to HMB 47. That's when Adam Howe was still around here knocking about. I think he might have had the baby. Did he have the baby? Yeah, he had the baby by then. But he was coming in and hanging out. Miss Adam, I wish him well. I hope he's doing well, whatever he's doing. So... HMB 47 was St. Petersburg muralist artist Sebastian Coolidge. Very prolific young man here. Really good guy, too. He's painting all over the place. He was at Bonnaroo this year. He was went back to his hometown in Kansas City this couple months ago and painted a bunch there. He's just been all over the place and couldn't happen to a nicer guy. He's a really good dude. So let's travel back for our last segment of this worst of, and I'm going to be joined by Adam Howe and Sebastian Coolidge as we talk about God knows what. We'll see. Be right back.
Actually, I have some questions. How did you end up on the cover of Families on the go. And like, is this your family? Which I'm assuming we're going to post this on your Facebook page or the podcast Facebook page, so everyone knows what we're talking about. But who is this family? Is this your family?
This is my family.
This is your family. You're a family man.
I am a family man. I'm a recent family man, about a month and a half.
Congratulations.
Now. Yeah.
Wow. So
as in, I didn't see the cover. Can
oh,
I?
Oh, yeah. Here you go, Will.
That's my beautiful girlfriend, Brittany, and our lovely little baby, Lilibel.
Lilibel, it's beautiful. Okay.
And Brittany was on the cover when she was about 12, I believe. And so I think the owner of it and Brittany's mother are friends. Wow. And they heard about the family, and we're on the go, so it all fit.
How old a guy are you?
I'm 25.
25. Okay, you're not that young then. That's about, I think, an okay age.
Yeah.
To, you know, to do that.
I'm a recent family man myself.
Congrats.
Thank you very much.
Congrats.
I have a beautiful 11-month-old baby girl. She's going to be a year on the 18th.
What's her name?
Lennon. Yeah, not to John. Yeah. Lennon Riley Howell.
I'm very alone. And it's I love it.
That's great. You know what? Enjoy it.
Yeah. As a family man, as a fellow family man, Sebastian, like when you walk in here, isn't this just the single man's art den that every true artist, I think, really craves? Just a place where you could go and, you know, make a beautiful work of art or touch yourself in the complete privacy.
It's bleeding privacy in here.
It's certainly. Yeah. Amongst
it's
other
dripping
things.
Off the walls. Just
amongst blood. That
literally.
Is somehow,
if you took a black light,
I didn't want to touch that over there.
There's also just blood. I don't. It's not mine, but it's coming from somewhere
dry.
In this place.
The blood seems.
That's why I'm not nervous right now.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Thank
the walls,
you.
Walls appear to be clean.
Yeah.
Under forensic analysis, it might be a different story.
Sure. I wasn't the first one to live here. I'm pretty sure this place was built in the 20s. So I can only imagine it was probably like a slave house or something where they kept them or something like that.
Many women of the night have perished here.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
And that's just when I was.
Missing persons cases could be solved.
That's just when I was living here during that time. So I can only imagine what it was like before. But, yeah, you know, it is what it is. Actually, I'm desperately trying to find a new place to live because I can't stand it anymore. I've been here. I'm almost 30. You know, I feel like I should have a little more. Just, yeah. And I'll tell you what, not even the
he
little more.
He deserves a balcony, I think is what he's trying to say.
You want a balcony.
I want a balcony, and I want a little freestanding cottage so I don't have to deal with paper-thin walls and neighbors.
What a beautiful
That's
dream.
All I want.
Are you beautiful. Trying to get loud?
No, I'm actually trying to get quiet.
Okay.
Like the complete opposite. I just
oh,
want
you're being
silence.
Bothered.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Okay.
And not really. I'm just
by the outside
still.
World.
I don't want to hear.
Like, he's not a people person.
I don't want to hear anybody talk. Yeah. I don't. You know, right. I just want
except
to
himself. He does.
Oh, I listen to myself talk.
He enjoys
all day.
You are a lone ranger.
Certainly,
sir. That is,
certainly am.
He is, but it works. I mean, this is great. I love your place. I love the setup.
Thank
it's
you.
Like a cross between an opium den and one of those quarter peep shows from the 80s.
I think they still have them.
Do they?
Quarter, I think so.
I'm sure it's not a quarter. Soda's not a quarter anymore. I'm sure
price
TV shows aren't.
Yeah. It's a Nickelodeon. Yeah.
Inflation. And that brings us to our next topic.
Sebastian Coolidge is an artist from the area, by the
oh,
way.
Oh, yeah.
I guess
we didn't really
I do
introduce
paint.
You.
He
we
does.
Apologize.
He's a painter. Tampa Bay Times, I saw today, too.
Tampa Bay Times.
Stuff.
That was a few days ago.
You did the place up on, I saw it from the interstate. What does that place do? It's a big, big machine.
The silo.
The silo.
That was Carroll's building materials, and they specialize in
like grinding rock and stuff. Okay,
all types of landscaping.
Because I was like, it can't be a quarry. There's no quarries in St. Pete, Florida.
No.
But that's what it kind of reminded me of. Was like an old quarry where they had the machines that break up the
St. Pete Quarry.
Yes,
it's a cool place.
Employs dozens. Yeah, and it was very cool. It was cool to see it. And I think the first time I saw your work was at the Benz. You did the sign for the Benz.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it was, and then all of a sudden, I saw your work
on the
everywhere.
Side. I did the side
of
the building.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it was everywhere. I couldn't.
That's the Volvo effect.
I don't know. I've never heard that before.
Maybe I just did more painting.
I just agreed with you.
Yeah.
It was everywhere all of a sudden. And was it kind of a short amount of time where things started, like, happening for you? Or
the past couple of years, I mean, I just been Really just looking for places to paint really hard, getting a lot of places to paint, and then in turn getting more places to paint and from it's just been people like, who've seen the paintings. Right. You know,
word of mouth.
Snowballing. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Word of mouth is the most powerful form of advertising, no matter what. So was that your first one, the Benz?
No, I actually did Freshly Squeezed right across the street.
That's right, the store.
Clothing store.
Yep.
Yeah. I did that. Did the Benz and then got, like a whole year's worth, couple years worth of, I'm still getting jobs from Freshly Squeezed.
That's awesome.
That is really
cool. It's such a great location. It definitely kicked off a whole painting career.
Yeah, you sacrifice to the gods of St. Pete and they'll treat you good.
Yeah.
It's true. I mean, you gave yourself, I mean, your mural work alone, like you've been, since 2000, I think the first interview I saw of you was 2011. Is that when you got here, about? At the time, which I want to talk about.
I moved here about 08.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
And didn't really get into the mural scene, though, until about 3 years ago.
Kansas City, Missouri?
Yeah. Kansas City, Missouri.
And what made you come here?
Actually, my aunt lived here.
Oh, yeah?
So I had some family.
Your publicist in the background.
Mom was kicking me out.
We're done. Let's go. Get in the car.
Yeah, my mom's here for a week-long visit, so.
Nice.
She got to tag along.
Very cool.
You must be very proud.
Yeah. This is just dead air. Come up. Do you want to talk on the mic? Come talk on the mic.
Real quick.
Come on, Mom.
Come on.
No, I can't hear you. Get in here.
Come on, Mom. Get in here. You made him. It's the least he could do.
You made me. Suffered through that birth.
I did, and it was the worst of all three of them.
Oh, my goodness.
He has exceeded my expectations every day. And I am so proud of him and his family. He's beautiful, and he's a wonderful father.
That's very nice.
Aww. We have an on-air first for Sebastian here. Will, get some Kleenex. It's next to the Jergens on top of the toilet.
There's a lot of Jergens. Is that a case of Jergens?
It's for baking. Can't be right.
Right.
No, but I mean, your son's work is exceptional, and he's definitely contributed to St. Petersburg in a fantastic way. Like, you know, it's good. We got a gem from Kansas City. We stole him.
So yeah.
Look at it.
You did steal him, and I miss him every day. I'm glad.
You really got to suck on that thing, Mom. You got to get right up on there.
Uncensored.
So, no, he has he blossomed here. He's become a wonderful man. His artwork is everywhere that we look. Every time I come about every 6 months. I can't believe how much more art he has up on walls, and it's unbelievable. He had his youngest brother out yesterday teaching him how to do murals. That's 11, and he did an awesome thing. He'll sit there. He's got the patience of a saint. He does.
That's good. That's great.
He's a great son. I can't.
Yeah, inspiring.
Good artist, great artist, but a good person.
I'm proud of him, too, so I can only imagine
what
your feelings are.
Yeah, there's a lot of pride in this room for you, Sebastian.
Oh, great.
So how did you...
I feel love in here.
How did you...
group hug.
Okay, so like you're saying, okay, I want to paint on this wall here.
Mm-hmm.
Is that as easy as going in and saying, hey, can I paint on this wall?
Yeah, I'll go in, ask for the owner or whoever's in charge of the building and say... Hey, I'm Sebastian Coolidge. Is it would be okay if I painted your wall?
And
usually they'll go, no, please step out, sir. We don't
need
to
go.
We don't need your painting.
What are you, homeless? Get out of here.
Yeah, please leave with your paint shorts. And no, don't touch our wall. We're gonna
no, I don't want you to tag the wall of my establishment. Please leave.
Oh, man, Sebastian Coolidge. Got to get that guy back in, too. What a nice dude. And Adam, of course, hilarious. Adam Howe, man. Got to give it up for that guy. So that's it. That is the first worst of the homemade broadcast. Thank you very much for listening and the support over this time. Don't forget to subscribe on iTunes. Tune in on RadioSt.Pete.com every Sunday at 6:15. Give me a call. We have a voicemail, 813-693-2124. Be back shortly with a new guest. And more memories to be made for more worst of specials. My name is Will Kuntz. This is the Homemade Broadcast. Long live the HMB. Talk to you weirdos at some point in the future. Have a good one. See you.